You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday. This will be the Tuesday show, and this Tuesday we are celebrating.
Yeah, sure.
Celtics win 110-105 over the Miami Heat, in which they blew them out in the first quarter and lost every quarter thereafter. And held on to win by five. Yay. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com. Joined post-game by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam!
A.K.A. Little Baby Jamwich.
Close enough. Shit. Young Little Baby Jamwich or Young Baby Jamwich.
This time the jam that got me was because of the motion of the microphone.
Oh, I had to pull it.
You had to pull all the way out for the.
It's a little trick you learn in the biz.
The visual, prepared for the mental and the audio, but the visual that got me. Let's just dive into this game because.
You ready to break down a 2-3 zone?
Let's.
You ready
get
to talk about 2-3 zone?
Oh my God, this is going to be. Dopest zone defense podcast you've ever heard, guaranteed. Right?
I haven't heard of many 2-3 zone podcasts,
yeah,
but
I don't think there's any
in the
ones
first
out there.
The first quarter, they were pretty good at breaking down a 2-3 zone.
Yeah.
The passing was there. They knocked down a number of 3-point baskets, which is the 2-3 zone is kind of
That's what it'll do.
It will happen in that good old fashioned 2-3 zone. But let me see. In the first quarter, they scored 36 points, 5 of 10 from deep, 11 of 21. They really did a good job of just passing in the middle of the zone, going side to side, like playing deliberately. There was a reason they built up a 17-point lead, or they had a 22-point lead at one point. I think actually 19-point lead at the end of the quarter. They did very well. After that?
Crappy.
Not so good. It really felt like... it's kind of surprising, or not surprising at all with this team. How many times have they, every single person of Celtics Twitter said, oh man, this game's going to end up like being close after that first quarter. It's just like what this team does.
The Celtics stormed out to that huge lead, and I was sitting next to Tom Westerholm, my co-beat writer at MassLive.com. So he turns to me, he goes, at what point do you think this game will be tied? I said, 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. He's like, I say 2 minutes to go in the third.
I was in the third quarter camp. I thought they were going to give it up much easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was closer. They cut it to 5 in the third, and they cut it down to 3 with 2 minutes to go in the fourth. So I guess by Price is Right's rules, I win.
Yes.
So I get the car.
And all rules is Price is Right rules. You got to do Price is Right rules for everything.
Right. In which case, somebody would have swooped in and said, I'll say a minute 59 in the fourth quarter, and that would have screwed me over. Those people suck.
No, those people are strategic, and you have to respect them for playing the game correctly.
Come on.
Playing the game correctly, something the Celtics did not do, especially in that fourth quarter.
I like that.
They slowly got worse and worse. I thought they actually played with some decent energy in the second quarter. They played with made some extra passes. Actually, it wasn't as bad. But the fourth quarter, they shot 30%. They were 7 of 23. They started off that quarter. It was like, all right, the 2-3 zone is basically designed to give you foul shot jumpers. And the Celtics were like, all right, let's give Mook and Baines as many foul shot jumpers as we want. And then let's move that into contested threes. Oh, and then let's try to challenge Hassan Whiteside at the rim. It was just like consecutive fuckery is the best way I can use to describe it. I apologize for the language, but this was bad possession after bad possession, and they were really lucky for two things. Dion Waiters exists and tried to take a ridiculous Dion Waiters three to tie the game when the Heat were only down three. And then right after that, Kyrie Irving goes, explodes to the lane, and they call a charge on, or they call a block on Kelly Olynyk, and Kyrie gets the N1, and it goes from a 3-point game to a 6-point game. Now, as a staunch defender of Kelly Olynyk's positional defense, that could have been easily been called a charge.
I think that maybe in Miami that gets called a charge.
Maybe if the refs out there respected the positional defensive prowess of Kelly Olynyk, it gets called a charge. But the Celtics were really lucky. Like, that was a huge swing where they put them up like six, and it really, that kind of put the game away, even though they tried to do their best to give it away. There's like the turnovers after that, like in the fourth quarter or the second half alone. It was just, it was bad. Bad news bears.
It was sloppy. That's the formula. I mean, that's just, stop us if you heard this before. The Celtics come out strong, build up a lead. I sit here and argue, see, this is why you don't have to change the starting lineup, although they did it with Baines in the starting lineup. But basically, the starts to the games are generally great. And then second quarter is hit or miss. Third quarter is an absolute disaster. Fourth quarter is a scramble. That's the Celtics in a nutshell this season. And it wasn't even the zone in the third quarter necessarily. They were giving up a lot of live ball turnovers at the top of the key. Just bad
passes, or just like dribbles into the zone. Like, they're just dribbling into multiple defenders.
Right.
It was just like, it was nonsensical at times. And it was just so predictable. But silver lining, Brad mentioned it post game. All of us, like, I think like a lot of us on the press row were like, man, this would be a terrible loss. And we're not going to be surprised if they managed to bungle this game. And they managed to, despite playing so poorly, still win. A lot of that, again, had to do with the Miami Heat roster and their players and the fact that the Heat just didn't make any three-point shots. What were they? The Heat finished 10 of 37 from three, which is not great. So they kind of lucked out, and the Heat weren't able to punish them, but I guess give them credit for the win. I don't know.
if they were playing a different team, they would have had more respect, and they would have, I guess, played harder in the third quarter. Like I said, the third quarter was just sloppy. The turnovers, giving up 13 points in like 4.5 minutes to Goran Dragic.
All to Goran Dragic.
Yeah. I mean, that was, he scored 13 of 15 in a run there. I forget what the exact run was. He had an assist to Bam Adebayo, who was just alley-oop dunking like crazy. Another big alley-ooping like mad against the Celtics. The Celtics got super sloppy and turned the ball over, live ball turnovers, letting Dragic get out in transition and finishing and fouling and all of that crap. Then after that, after they'd gotten down, after they'd given up a lead, then they start trying to run an offense, but they're really not trying to run an offense. And that's where they would go into the teeth. Like, there was a stretch where they would just try to, like, I'm a big fan of challenging shot blockers, but they weren't challenging Hassan Whiteside as much as they were teeing up vicious volleyball spike blocks for Hassan Whiteside. Like, they weren't getting into his body. They weren't forcing him to maybe get his hands down or something and try and draw a foul. They were just kind of sort of driving into him. And like, Mook did this like almost hook shot, and it was bad. They weren't doing the things that they did earlier. Now, one of the reasons why I asked Al Horford, if when he flashes to the top of the free throw line, you get a 2-3 zone, the big flashes to the top of the free throw line. That's just the first move that you do, and you give it to him at the free throw line. You said it before. It's designed to give up that shot. Al Horford taking that shot, I'm down with that because that's a free throw for Al Horford.
But he never turned around and just threw that shot because there's better ways to break down the zone. And when, like, he was not in the game, we saw that shot be taken by Tice, who got blocked, Mook, who got blocked, Baines, who missed it a number of times. It's
right.
Just, like, there's better things to do.
They have to figure out a different way when the zone comes around. Like, you cannot give Mook the ball in that position because he's just going to turn around and shoot it or do something bad with it. Daniel Tice is not a good enough passer in that position to do that. Baines is a better passer than people give him credit for, but he has a tendency to want to take that shot. Like, he's a little
bit more. He was very aggressive with the lefty hooks tonight.
Yeah. So getting Al Horford not just in that position to catch the ball at the free throw line, but to turn around and look, and you got to draw that defender up. You got to really try to get either it's Adebayo or Whiteside. If they're going to give you that shot, Al Horford, I can trust to take that shot. And I think if Al Horford takes that shot and makes it 2, 3, 4 times, you get a natural inclination to draw a guy up, and then you can start cutting back door. And I think they were doing a good job of getting some of those backdoor cuts early. But once you draw that guy up, and if you're a legitimate threat from that spot, just hitting a couple of shots is enough to get people like, I got to challenge this. We can't just give this guy those shots all night. That's shoot around for Al Horford. So one of the things that I would like to see Al Horford do in those positions is to shoot more, turn, look, shoot that shot, take it when it's there, and then draw the defense in, and then you can start kicking, and then guys will start to get a little more out of position. You can do more. But that's only when they struggle. When they're all playing together and connected, I like the way they attacked it in the first half.
Boom. 2-3 zone analyzed.
There you go.
That's a perfect preview for the upcoming game against the Miami Heat,
which they're
definitely going to lose.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It never.
Is that like just not on brand for them?
It feels like a guaranteed loss at this point.
Right. And I'm willing to bet that either Kyrie or Al, like one of those guys, sits. Like, it's just
got to be rested for that Miami, or I mean that Pacers game on Friday.
Woo! All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes here. Reminder that you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. It's got curated feeds, a lot of new features that'll help you out, help you sort your podcast. It's great. And then also Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. You could also tell your smart device in your car or in your home to play podcasts Locked On Celtics. We're coming right back. Stick around. Al Horford finished this game with 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. That, as Jam likes to put it, for you base 10.
Base 10 bias. You guys counted in base 10. That number is important to some people. Some people would hand out a most valuable player award for such an achievement. That's actually Al Horford's only second career triple-double, which is actually kind of wild considering kind of the type of player that he is, but it happened. We live in this base 10 society, so we might as well talk about it.
I love your just rage against the base 10.
Yeah, man, let's operate in that base 8 world. Yeah, I can't even get into trying to explain the different number of counting systems, but Al Horford is quite good. Not surprising to anyone. But I think the problem is for the Celtics, I don't know if it's a problem, but when he is not on the court, either the defense or the offense or both get a lot worse. He is the key to basically everything they do offensively. He creates spacing. He's the captain, kind of like the back line of the defense. They need him to pretty much be great if they want to win in the playoffs, and they need him to do it while by playing 40 minutes a game.
He's the one guy that keeps his head about him no matter what. He's the one guy that is not going to be prone to hero ball. I've seen him take an early shot clock jumper maybe three times this season. And he is just not going to let the moment dictate how he plays. He is going to make the right play at the right time. He's not going to get caught up in, hey, we're up 18. I'm going to take this three because that would be one hell of a knockout punch and the crowd's going to go nuts. He's going to try and find the right guy and make the right play. There was a play in the fourth quarter. Terry Rozier was on the right, in the right corner, and he was like waving for the ball. And I know Al Horford saw him, and a lot of people might have given it to Terry Rozier when he was waving for the ball because he was sort of open. But Horford got the ball, and he just kind of made a dribble move away from Rozier and turned and then fired it back to him. And it felt like that was a, I'm just going to draw the defense out just a little bit further. I know that Rozier's back there. I know that they're playing a zone, so they're not rotating out to that shooter. And if he's where he's supposed to be, he's going to catch this ball, and it's going to be a wide-open shot. And he was where he was supposed to be. He caught the ball, and he drilled the three. And that was a big three. I don't know exactly. I don't have the play-by-play.
That was the consecutive Tatum three and then Rozier three.
Yes.
I think it was like Terry's like third made shot in the last three games, which is not great, but
not good.
It was
the three that Terry Rozier made to me.
Yes. But Al Horford was making just good passes. Like, I think I'm always most impressed with his passing. Like when he has the big passing nights, because if you're a big man, you're going to get the 10 rebounds. The points, obviously, he did a pretty good job tonight, scoring 19. But just his passing, his attacking the zone, I think he sometimes like was over passing, trying to look for those backdoor cuts in the zone, like leading semi too much, and there's actually some turnovers there. But I just think he's the most reliable guy on the team. And he had one amazing pass to Gordon Hayward on transition,
man.
Which was just like, how did you do that?
That was just like, oh, that's Erotic City. Like, that was full Erotic City. I watched that pass. Like, I'll watch that thing over and over again. It's just on the break at a tough angle. And you have to lead Hayward just perfect. I mean, Hayward just took off and made, first of all, a very nice full-speed cut, which Hayward looked pretty good as an aside tonight. He didn't score a lot, but like his athleticism looks really good. To get that pass, the ball almost has to travel almost parallel to him. It's such a tight angle.
It's like an NFL quarterback, like timing it that way. Like,
yeah.
Like a
throw it to the spot, yeah. That was, oh, man, that was a hell of a pass. But even the pass to Shemi, that was a good point. Those kind of turnovers I can live with because it was right there. It's not really, it's not inexcusable that
no,
he.
No, it was the right read.
It was the right read. It's just he and Shemi just don't play in that at that speed to get, like, how many times is Shemi cutting backdoor in anything, a practice, a game, or anything where Horford's going to find him? So timing is just like a half second. That would have been a great layup. But the ball goes out of bounds. Like, I don't care necessarily about those turnovers. You're trying to make the right play, and the ball goes out of bounds, fine. You get to go back and set your defense. The live ball turnovers were killing me. But Horford, when he's off the floor, you don't have I don't think it's that Horford is off the floor and, oh shit, what do we do without Horford? It's who comes in when Horford is off the floor. And you throw Baines, well, if you're starting Baines alongside Horford, and then you're bringing in either Tice or Mook or something. Like, Mook has been like a big net negative, which I mentioned in the podcast last night. If he's not, and if you're pairing him with Terry Rozier too, like, that's just a recipe for bad play. And part of it is Al Horford's not there to stabilize it. You don't just dump it into him and let him kind of sort out who's going to get the ball. And part of it is just the types of players that you have in there are just prone to not playing great basketball. So you're not you got like a combination of things that are really making things fall apart.
Yeah, it's the Celtics, they're just going to rely on Al Horford 45 minutes a game. That's why he's resting probably against the Miami Heat. He should really only play the Pacers game in the rest of the season because they're going to need pretty much every ounce of him. The only other thing from tonight that I thought of note was Jason Tatum three-point shooting. Is it back?
Yes.
Over his last five games, Tom Westerholm tweeted out the actual number. I don't remember it, but it's a good percentage.
It's
I think
53% or something.
He was 4 of 7 tonight from three. He just had a really good opening quarter. Him and Kyrie, I just thought the three-point shooting was pretty good tonight. Definitely helped out by the 2-3 zone, but they finished shooting 42%. Kyrie made his first four threes. Mook made two, we saw, and then Marcus Smart, actually, who we have not mentioned tonight, but RBAC award winner.
Just going to say that. Yeah.
Marcus Smart was 4 of 8 for night, and he hit some big threes, and that's clearly helped out with his own. But I think the Tatum thing is most important because he was in a huge shooting slump there for a while, and to see him get back, and some of his threes were just wide open, but he's a very good shooter, so you want him to hit the wide open ones. And he pulled off the pump fake sidestep three, which we've been on him all year to try and do that instead of stepping into it. He also did a pump fake step in long two at least 3 or 4 times tonight.
Yeah.
But he pulled off the three, which I think is important. Just his shooting. I think we talked about it in an earlier podcast. Kyrie and Al are going to need to be great, but you're going to need the other guys around there to be the good spot-up three-point shooters. Especially in the second round against a team like the Bucks, who give up a bunch of threes like that. You're just going to need guys like that to be shooting the ball confidently. So it's good to see Tatum just stepping into the more confidence and knocking down more shots.
Yeah, that was great. The sidestep three was huge. And it sometimes you just need a game like this. If they're going to play the 2-3 zone, they're going to give you those open shots. You need the shots to start falling. And this is why, especially in the NBA, you don't overreact to a guy's shooting slump. Okay, so now over the past five games, Tatum is shooting over 50% from three after shooting like 20% from three for a stretch. Like, it all evens out. It all evens out, and it's sometimes guys go on runs, they get hot, and sometimes they get cold. That shit happens. You can't just be like, oh, he's cold, sit him. You know, that's not how you got to approach these things. One other thing before we move on to the last segment, we didn't mention that no Jaylen Brown in this game, and I think that hurt the Celtics a lot because 24 minutes for Marcus Morris, 20 minutes for Terry Rozier, plus also minutes for Ojeleye and Yabu, trying to make up for some of those minutes that Jaylen would have taken. I'm sure a lot of Mook minutes might have dwindled a little bit. So who knows if Jaylen Brown is in this. Oh, Jesus Christ, what's happening now? Here comes Jared Weiss. Here comes the devolving of this podcast. But if you had a few minutes of Jaylen Brown in there, you might not have seen some of the things that happened in the third quarter.
You would have seen sweet Jasuela Moore hit an up-and-under finger roll. That was pretty impressive.
All right, well, since you're here, what are your thoughts on this game?
I really didn't watch the game. I was working on the feature the entire time.
And awesome.
Literally just coming to watch you guys' podcast.
Fantastic.
Strong take.
I like that.
That's Jared Weiss of The Athletic.
But I got to say, Al Horford looked terrible tonight. Is he even ready?
Average Al.
Average Al. Yeah, this was a big Average Al night. Averaging a triple-double.
Base 10 bias, guys. Base 10 bias.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back to your tweets after I tell you about Wyze. Wyze is the indoor camera, and it does it all, Jared. Did you know this?
All of it?
All. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere, and for only $20, it records in full 1080p HD. Image is so clear, you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision. It's got two-way audio. So when Jared Weiss is stalking you outside the window,
you can catch him.
You can catch him and talk to him and be like, hey, Get away from my window, Jared Weiss. Go finish your feature. Wise's mission is to bring amazing smart home products with that are accessible to everyone. You can check on your home anytime with Wise's live stream. With the Wise app on your phone, you can connect to life as it unfolds in sharp focus so you can see everything that Jared Weiss is doing inside your house, outside your house. I'm making this really weird for you, aren't I? No, none of this. This is the ad read. Good. You get with your Wise camera for only $20 a live stream with 8x digital zoom and a free rolling 14-day cloud storage. Free with no subscription, 14-day cloud storage. So you can watch Jared Weiss peering through your window while you're on vacation. You could also watch... Yeah, you know, I'm sure...
That's what the camera's for, the Weiss camera.
Oh, my goodness. You can do anything. You can run errands and watch your food simmering on the stove, making sure that nothing goes wrong there. You can do anything. Watch the people who are at work on your yard or whatever while you're at work. Keep an eye on them. And for only $10 more, the Wise Campaign gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should, too. Remember, free. Rolling 14-day cloud storage, no subscription. Wise.com/locked. Wise.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Break down the room around us. We ask you to tweet at us during the game, Rain and Jays for your basketball type questions, Rain and Junk for your junky type goofy questions. Let's start with the Jays. At Maddie B, 0814. This is a pretty erotic start.
There were some wild things that occurred in that first quarter, including fast breaks started by Kyrie behind the back passes. Kyrie smacking the ball up into the air, jumping, smacking it to Jason Tatum, who lost it, and then it leads to a dunk to Gordon Hayward. The pass by Al. It was one of the more erotic quarters of the season.
It was. Man, there are people descending upon this room. All right, Jovi and Shadow, the Celtics don't really want home court, do they?
They said it was important, but I don't believe them.
I would think if you had to pick between health and home court, they would pick health. As we like to say, if you can't beat the Indiana Pacers without home court, then what are you doing here? They need to get this thing together. And if they play at their best, then they can beat any team anywhere. If they don't, then it doesn't matter if you got home court. So home court would be nice. I mean, I'd like to at least have one series where I'm not flying all over the place, but.
Question for the audience or for the host of the show.
Yes, go.
Is it a hot take to think that if the Celtics get all their shit together, they can still go to the finals?
I don't think it's a hot take.
They're capable.
They're capable,
they're
sure.
Plenty capable. And if we talked about it a bunch, that if they just play 40 minutes of Kyrie and Al, they think they can do good things. But who knows?
It goes back to the preseason expectation. If they play their best, if they play everything the way they're supposed to play and everybody plays at the best of their ability, then, yeah, they can. Of course they can. We've seen them play great against great teams. But, you know, obviously the follow-up is, well, how often have we seen them do that, and why should we expect them to do that now? So, but it's. I don't think it's a hot take. I think at their best, that's why every time I watch one of these, you know, like the Jump or something like that, and they talk about the Celtics. It's like, oh, the Celtics are having all these problems. But they're dangerous, and I don't think anybody really wants to play them because if they are playing at their best, they're going to be a tough out. At John Jesseraj, I think so. Can we talk about why the Celtics or any NBA team can't attack a zone defense?
No, well, we just spent 40 minutes talking about 2-3 zone.
I still have more thoughts.
I refuse to have any more zone talk. Thank you for the question.
NB Nickerson, it'd be cool if Rozier was not in the playoff rotation. Thoughts?
He needs to play 10 to 15 minutes a game. You need a backup ball handler. You can't, I know the idea is just let's give it to Gordon Hayward every time.
Yeah.
It's just... You need to play him. He's a solid player. He's going to be more effective playing 10 minutes than he is. I don't know with Terrazer. He could be. He seems to be better playing 30 than he is with 20, but you can't just bench him. It's ridiculous. I expect him to be like the not get that many minutes a game, but he's going to be in the rotation.
I think the coolest thing would be for Terry Rozier to play good basketball.
Oh, that's a hot take.
There you go. Although he did early in the game in the first half. It was like he's actually moving the ball. He passed up numerous pull-up opportunities to move the ball, move himself, relocate. Like, he did all of the right things. I was sitting there, and so did Marcus Morris, by the way, in the first half. And I was like, what's happening here? Why are these guys
making
doing
the right play with a big lead? I too, was
I'm very confused by what's happening here. At underscore Costello, this team may be frustrating, but I checked previous Red R back award winners, and Brandon Bass won it in 2014.
Yeah, I bet he two-hand dunked that award right down. That's all Brandon. All Brandon Bass ever did was two-hand dunk
and take 14 footers.
Yeah, and he did it like it was his job because it was.
let's see. Albano Zuzu, can you please explain what Kaizen is on the pod?
Sure.
I just can't pretend to understand anymore.
Kaizen is the Japanese concept of continual improvement, made popular, I think, post-World War II when they were trying to rebuild their entire society. But in the Celtics context, it's something that Brad Stevens preaches. It's actually in their weight room on a steel beam, and it's just getting better every day, which is basically the Brad Stevens mantra. So Kaizen is just the process of continuous improvement.
Junk time.
Oh, junk time. All right. We've got a bunch of stuff. Some of them aren't great. I think we've been going long. I'm just going to go to my own collected junk drawer.
We're starting to go a little long. We can.
You want to know what happens in a blowout that starts in the first quarter? You stop taking real notes and you start taking exclusively junk notes. So
yeah,
I'm going to have to start with here. Jaylen Brown loves frogs. talking about this in the GQ article, big frog guy. Frogs over dinosaurs. So everyone get on board. Dwayne Wade, he stinks and I hate him. And the Garden crowd gave him a warm reception, which was confusing.
We're talking about this before the show here. I was shocked, and maybe because we live in our little online Twitter bubble, I thought for sure that he was going to get booed because everybody online that I interact with, all of the people who interact with me, hate Dwayne Wade. And I thought, oh, man, this guy's going to get booed like crazy. And he checked in, and people were like, yay, we respect you.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of people Wade stands in the crowd tonight. Every time there's like a big final farewell game or even a big game like this, anytime there's an NBA star, like this is the final game of the regular season for, I think Celtics fans are less likely to have the tickets than, I saw a lot of Miami jerseys. There was a guy right behind press row in a all-white Miami jersey. He was wearing it.
Shut up.
He was talking very loudly, and he was ugly, and I hated him. but I wasn't too surprised by the reception, but I started my podcast career by hosting a podcast called We Hate Dwayne Wade, so this was a big night for me, and I hate him. Sax Anthem is the only good anthem. Moving on.
Only if it's done by Bleeding Gums Murphy.
DJ Pauly D was here from the Jersey Shore. And let me tell you, this is one of the rare games where I got to sit next to Jay King. Huge Pauly D fan.
Is he really?
Huge Jersey Shore guy. Shocking. Shocking stuff. But he's a bigger fan of Vinny, who was also on the Jersey Shore, but here was a beautiful moment to witness. Jay King tweets about Pauly D. Then at halftime, Pauly D's checking his mentions and follows the kid, and I get to sit there and look at the glee and the joy on Jay King's face when he gets the notification that Pauly D is now following him on Twitter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Then Pauly D dapped up Kyrie. Pauly D was throwing out T-shirts during the T-shirt toss. It was fantastic. It was just, he's probably the story of the game. Now, you're looking at me like, why the hell do you care about Pauly D? I'm going to say, I was a teenager when the Jersey Shore came out, and it was on MTV, so I watched it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They were in a house. They were drinking. They pumped their fists.
They had a hamburger phone, didn't they?
They had a hamburger phone.
Is it
A duck phone, premarital sex happened. It was like the real world, but stylized for Italian Americans.
And the laundry routines were top notch.
Yeah, they did gym, and then they went tanning, and then they did laundry stuff. I mean, how? Stop me when it starts getting boring to you.
Honestly, I respect Jay King, and he's a coworker of mine. I don't want to slander him publicly, but how is Vinny but, your guy?
Vinny's the coolest guy.
Oh my God!
For one, this should be clearly a Jersey Shore podcast. For years.
Oh my God!
What did you think about when they read the letter about Ronnie cheating on Sam, Sammy's sweetheart?
That was just a brutal moment for me.
I know it was pretty wild stuff.
I cried.
I don't think you should cry, but it was a big moment. But okay, enough Jersey Shore talk. Moving on.
All I know is that dude was from Rhode Island.
Yeah. He looked like it.
Yeah.
He was wearing Red Sox jersey. Kelly Olynyk was back in tonight and talking a lot of shit to the Celtics bench, which I was thoroughly entertained by. I think it's mostly Terry Rozier. I think it's the only person left from the Kelly Olynyk era. But he made a three, talked some shit. He got fouled by Terry Rozier and started saying, look up at the review board. I'm all here for Kelly Olynyk talking shit.
That's great. I mean, he doesn't have any reason to, but... That makes it even better.
Well, remember when he hit the game winner against the Celtics? Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
He was loving it. That was the greatest moment of his life. And Stevens was loving it, too.
There's a guy in an Aaron Baines baseball jersey who won a free trip to Aruba today due to his three-point shooting. You don't see an Aaron Baines baseball jersey, and you rarely see a person who's good at the mid-game entertainment. So shouts to that guy.
How about this? One free round-trip ticket to Aruba. No lodging. No second person.
Just going to drop you off at Aruba.
One person.
We'll pick you up at noon.
That's the contest. You make the layup, you get whatever. You make the free throw, you get one round trip ticket to San Francisco. No lodging, no nothing. You just go. And then
I think that's appropriate with the difficulty of just making a free throw and making a 3-point shot. You want me to give you two tickets? Make a half court shot or make two threes.
Sure. Or make it like a different place.
What, like New Jersey?
Yeah,
New Jersey Shore. Take a bus to Atlantic City.
Like
for four
tickets,
people.
Two tickets to New York in a hotel or you go to like Miami or something.
It's easily accessible. It needs to be something somewhat remarkable for a Bostonian.
I don't know. One ticket? Like, come on. One ticket.
I'm all here for slandering the Celtics in-game entertainment. It's kind of my alley. I got tonight, guys. It's April Fools, and the freaking internet youth put out a doctored play-by-play saying that Ben Simmons made a three. And I tweeted out, what? We need video confirmation. And it dawned on me like 6 minutes later. It's like, oh, man, this would never actually happen. April Fools. So that was fun.
I think April 1st is the worst day on the internet. But that was actually a good joke.
It was a good one.
I thought that was like the one actual good April Fool's joke. Because I saw it and I'm like, now because I'm following the game and writing a recap, I saw it. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that he hit a three. Like I totally bought into it. And then I was like, where's the video? Like why isn't anybody taking a video?
Where is this moment? Yeah.
And like, oh, okay, that's weird. And I just kind of shelved it. And then I saw later that Jack Michael,
who 17.
Introduced himself today. He came. He was at the game, and he came by and he said hello. And I was
didn't
like,
"Say hello to me." And then he deliberately fooled me online. Sounds like he was being a real jerk.
He was out there. We were talking in like 45 minutes before the tip, and then he went up to his perch up in the 300 section. But shouts to Jack, and that was a good
Can
one.
Can I use the platform here to call out Jack Michael for not telling me he was in the building? That's my BU brethren. We had brunch at the Breakfast Club, a BU iconic BU brunch spot, and he did not tell me he was here tonight. Honestly, I'm a little offended. And Jack Michael, you're canceled.
I would be offended. That must really hurt your feelings that he would avoid you intentionally like that.
Not John. He deliberately said hello to John.
He came out, and I'm not, like, I didn't go to BU. I went to Emerson, like, and I'm much older than him. I'm not anybody that he'd actually want to hang out with, and he still came and said hi to me. Jeez, that sucks. I'm sorry.
It's a low point for me.
All right.
What happens when you're stuck behind a paywall, guys.
Moving on to Jason Tatum being a little bit horny in his bracket challenge, choosing Nicki Minaj over Showers, which was, shout out to the Patels, who, when the first segment aired, so they do a challenge where they set just a bunch of random categories, and it's like Nicki Minaj versus Cardi B and 64 versus Game Boy. And the first round, you just do the first round, and the player picks them all. And then in the next segment, he picks it all the way to the finals. After the first round, I had the Patels tweeted at me alleging that the Celtics were using the same video that they did last year, because last year is eerily similar, but Tatum last year picked Showers to go all the way. And then this year, he picked Nicki Minaj. But I just love the fact that they were so conspiratorial that they thought the Celtics were reusing in-game footage. And that's just, like, fantastic. It's not it didn't happen to be the same one, because this year he was a little bit hornier. Nicki Minaj over Showers. Showers were still in the finals. But, yeah, shouts to Jason Tatum for shooting his shot.
Yeah, you got to shoot your shot, man.
He sidestepped that three and continued to shoot.
He lost his virginity since the last.
Oh, God.
I think he entered the league sans virginity. And finally, two things. Marcus Smart took a charge at some point in the third quarter, and Aaron Baines leapt off the bench. And if you've ever seen old school, you'll know Will Ferrell's character, Frank the Tank. One of his best celebrations is just punching the air. Baines immediately did an air punching Frank the Tank celebration, and it was fantastic. And finally, I can't believe I forgot this. This is gonna the Jam Witch Jam of the Game.
Oh yeah,
the Jam Witch Witch Jam of the Game is presented by Jam, but hopefully one day the fine folks at Welch's, who produce the peanut butter and jelly Jam Witch. The Witch Jam of the Game goes to Gordon Hayward for that crazy play earlier, where it was Kyrie did some cool jumping. Jason Tatum passed up a layup on himself to give Gordon Hayward an explosive dunk that qualifies for the Welch's, possibly, Jam Witch, Witch Jam of the Game.
Oh, man. It's really a quality thing. That was, first of all, awesome for Gordon Hayward. Nice explosion on there. I'm not so sure that Welch's, like, I'm starting to believe that they have no real investment in the Jam Witch as a product that they want to promote. Otherwise, they'd be all over this thing.
They told me on Twitter that they would get in contact with the right people.
All right.
Now, I just have to believe that they're going to follow up on that. But option B, and this is the one most supported by Jay King, is that we storm the offices of Welch's in Concord, Massachusetts,
right,
and sit in until we get free peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oh, yeah. No, that is where the corporate headquarters are, in Concord, Massachusetts.
Commerce flows through.
Sure. I don't think Jelly does. I think there's production elsewhere, but maybe their marketing offices, or like the people, the lawyers who will send me a cease and desist letters, they reside there.
Yeah. I would counter with, you know, if they don't want to play ball, we could just turn to an alternative. We go to
Smuckers, Smuck of the Game.
See, I was going with Smuckers, Sucker of the Game, or something like that. Smuckers, Schmuck of the Game.
I don't know, but that, have you ever bit into a Jam Witch? It doesn't compare to those crap Uncrustables.
No, hey, look, man, we'll give me some of that sweet Smuckers money, and we'll see how much those Uncrustables.
See, Welch's.
Is that even the same? Is it the same?
It's brand? The same exact thing.
It's right, but like, is Smuckers the one that does the Uncrustables?
Yeah.
Okay, so there we go.
I feel like you guys are focusing too much on the jelly side of the equation. You need to tap it to the peanut butter side.
Well, here's my idea.
The GIF of the game.
Ooh, there's a good one.
See, I'm team GIF.
Well, I'm team GIF too, but if money's involved.
No. Here's what we're doing. We're reinventing the Jamwich, but instead of smooth peanut butter, we're putting chunky peanut butter in it and changing the game. That's a talk about mouthfeel.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Can I still give out a Smuckers Sucker of the Game?
Sure.
How about Bam Adebayo for throwing the ball directly off Derrick Jones's face?
Ooh, that was a good moment. Or what about Kelly Olynyk for throwing the ball, sailing the ball over the Celtics bench,
6 feet over the bench into the third row
when they really needed a bucket?
Yeah, that was also a sucker move.
Maybe the Smuckers Smack of the Game.
Sucker is the joke. Okay, it's sucker.
Sound off in the comments. What do you think is the best worst joke? Though?
I just wanted to bring up Bam Adebayo whipping a 90-mile-an-hour fastball off his teammate's face from 5 feet away. That's, yeah.
He
absolutely.
Did.
He did.
That's why he went to his face so quickly.
All right. That's it. We're going to wrap up this show. Smuckers, Welsh's, who else is out there in the jelly game? We're focusing very strongly on the jelly market. There's
no, we should be focusing on the jam market. The jam. My name is Jam.
It's been an impressive amount of advertising.
And we're getting no money out of this. Oh, God. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening, all of you new listeners. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. When you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. All of you regular listeners, give us that 5-star rating, good review. Hope you've enjoyed this show enough to do so. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.